From NPR News in Washington, I'm Shea Stevens. BP is apologizing for the Gulf oil spill and plans to set aside $20 billion to compensate victims of the disaster. Its chairman, Carl Henriks Vanberg, says BP doesn't take the matter lightly.
I hear comments sometimes that large oil companies are greedy companies or don't care. But that is not the case in BP. We care about the small people.
Spanberger says his small people remark was a clumsy way of saying that BP does care about the Gulf communities. A spokesman calls the comment a slip in translation. Spanberger met with President Obama at the White House Wednesday to discuss the company's plans for cleanup and restoration. BP now has a second collection system that went online in the Gulf, allowing crews to burn more than 1,200 barrels of oil leaking from the ruptured well. NPR's Brian Mann says the news comes as the president is pressuring the company to capture more oil and faster.
Federal officials now say as many as 60,000 barrels of oil are leaking daily from the Deepwater Horizon well. According to BP, this new system is capturing a fraction of that, incinerating about 11 barrels each hour in its first day of operation. But together with the containment cap installed earlier this month, BP says it was able to intercept roughly 8,200 barrels of oil in a 12-hour period before it reached the waters of the Gulf. Both systems together are designed to eventually haul in as much as 28,000 barrels a day. In his Oval Office speech this week, President Obama said the company would soon be able to capture as much as 90% of the gushing crude. Local officials along the Gulf Coast have been urging the federal government and BP to step up efforts to deal with more oil offshore before it reaches sensitive beaches and coastlines. Brian Mann, NPR News, New Orleans.
Police in Kyrgyzstan have detained more than 100 people from the country's south, alleging that they tried to inflame ethnic violence. NPR's David Green has this report from the city of Osh.
The police chief in Kyrgyzstan's capital, Bishkek, said he detained 111 people in connection with the ethnic violence, and there's a growing sense that the country's former president, Kurmanbek Bakiyev, stirred up old ethnic passions to create chaos and weaken the new government. An interim government took over in April after Bakiyev was forced out of power in a bloody uprising. Bakiyev has denied any involvement in this recent explosion of violence. Tens of thousands of ethnic Uzbeks were driven from their homes, and many are now in refugee camps in Uzbekistan. In the city of Osh, local officials are also concerned that many people missing could be hostages, Kyrgyz held in Uzbek enclaves, or Uzbeks in Kyrgyz neighborhoods. Local officials are helping to coordinate hostage exchanges between the two sides. Officials say 400 people have been freed that way already. David Green, NPR News, Osh, Kyrgyzstan.
Stocks ended a volatile session on Wall Street, spurred by disappointing news about the housing sector. The Dow gained 4 points. The Nasdaq rose a fraction of a point. This is NPR News. The U.S. has imposed new sanctions on Iran on top of the penalties approved by the Security Council last week. The Treasury Department has identified 20 oil companies it says are run by the state and are now subject to a trade embargo. It also added Post Bank of Iran to a list of institutions designated as aiding terror activities. That bank becomes the 16th in Iran to be cut off from international finances. U.S. Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner says the administration will take further action to boost financial pressure on Iran within the coming weeks. Two radio broadcasters were killed in separate incidents this week in the Philippines, a country among the deadliest locations in the world for journalists. From Manila, the Philippines' Simone Orendain reports.
Police say radio journalist Joselito Agustin was gunned down on his way home from work late at night in Ilocos Norte province in the northern Philippines. 3 days before the May 10th election, Agustin told media outlets shots were fired at his home. Authorities say they continue to investigate Agustin's death. Less than a day before Agustin's death, another radio journalist was killed. Desiderio Camangyan of the southern province of Davao Oriental was shot dead Monday. He was known as a vocal critic of local politicians. The New York-based Committee to Protect Journalists ranks the Philippines third on a list of countries where media killings go unresolved. In November, an election-related massacre left more than 30 journalists dead in the southern part of the country. For NPR News, I'm Simone Orendain in Manila.
In Tokyo, the Japan Nikkei is down less than 0.5%. I'm Shea Stevens. This is NPR News.